This episode is sponsored by Ashe Pure Naturals CBD and Filorga Skincare. We love to partner with brands that we actually believe in, that we actually use, and that we love, and then we love to share the love and give you guys a little discount code, so stay tuned, because mid-episode we're going to break down the benefits of each of these products, of each of these brands, and we're going to share why we love it so much, so stay tuned for that. Don't forget to use your discount code. By using the code, it's just a small way to support us. We appreciate you guys so much, and again, this episode is sponsored by Ashe Pure Naturals and Filorga Skincare.
My friend here in the New York City fitness world, but she's a business owner. She's the owner of Misfit, and she was on her podcast. So as I was editing, I just realized some things, like I said, after processing. So I realized that a lot of the things she was saying, after now having the time to process I don't necessarily agree with her on some things. And I think that's okay. And I think it's great that we have people on that don't necessarily share the same viewpoints on things. First of all, because you know me, I always like to like change the way society thinks and like reverse it and like whatever. So she was saying that she wants guys with a lot of money, financially stable, and older guys. She said it gets harder because she's in her 40s, and she says the dating pool gets smaller. But here's the thing. I think that if you open up your mind, it doesn't necessarily need to get smaller. Maybe just look at it differently. Like, oh, so what if I'm in my 40s? What about dating a younger guy who's like emotionally intelligent? Like, who's ready for a relationship? I think sometimes we have this like idea of what it looks like and the picture, and it's a guy this age and has this much money. But I think sometimes we need to like just open it up a little bit. You never know, experiment.
Yeah, but I also will argue that I feel like she has experimented a lot because she's now 40. She talked about sleeping with people that she wasn't even attracted to. She talked about like dating people that were younger or older. So I will say
maybe she has that experience.
Yeah, because because she's gotten to a certain age now, she's like, well, I've tried all the things. These are the things that I want, and these are my non-negotiables. So I think it can go both ways.
Yeah.
I feel like what is important is get clear on like what your non-negotiables are, and that doesn't mean it's a list of 70 things. That's like maybe like 4 to 5 or like whatever the amount is key like values that you have, and make sure that you're finding those. Whatever's gonna matter to you the most is important in your relationship, and to get clear on those. And that takes time to really, and even Ben, we talked to Ben today and Jess, and he mentions this, like date a lot and just like figure out what works for you, what doesn't work for you, and the only way to know that is by dating and trying.
I think you're right. Like at the end of the day, she knows what's right for her. She knows, and maybe what I'm saying is just like, I guess if it were me in that position.
Yeah. Well, I think it's an age thing too. Not, I shouldn't say age, it's an experience thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, she does have 10 more years of experience than us. So it's kind of like, that's valid too. We have to take that into consideration. Today we have on Ben Higgins from, he was The Bachelor.
Yes, he was The Bachelor. He was on then following seasons. I think he was on like Winter Games. I don't think he was on Paradise, but he's just like a Bachelor icon. He's also like the kindest, sweetest man. One of the like kindest people I've ever met. So, and he was recently one of the hosts for The Bachelor Live on Stage tour that I was on. And I grew to just like love him as like a big brother, basically. And his fiance, now Jess, who was on the podcast previously, before she got engaged in quarantine. So we talked to them about their relationship, how they found each other, what works for them, why, because I consider them to be a very successful couple. They like how you have said this, Jen, like they don't do like the dating norms or like the normal way of looking at things, which I think is really cool because they found like, again, what their values are for each of them, and they found that in each other.
Yeah, they're very tuned into like what works for them, their values, and they just seem like, it was very, I learned a lot from talking to them because it it's just very, it gives me a lot of hope. Yeah. Talking to them.
Yeah. And I think it's, yeah, be patient and consistent with looking for the things that you want. And I believe that if you are that way, like, they will happen. Yeah. I think life kind of falls into place no matter what you believe. As long as you keep like some type of faith that whatever you're looking for is out there, and that you work on yourself in the time being until that comes. Yeah, I think that's important.
Trusting the timing, trusting the universe, all the things.
Yeah, and I think that we all deserve to find the thing that's like meant for us. So be willing to look for it.
Agreed.
Yeah, so that's that. We hope you guys enjoy the episode. It's a really good one. If you guys can like, subscribe, we're going to be on YouTube and Apple Podcasts and all the places that podcasts are. Give us 5 stars because we love you, and write a good review, and we'll see you guys soon.
Yeah, enjoy.
Exciting.
Yeah, this is exciting.
So let's talk about you. We're like a dating and relationship podcast, and I feel like I like to look up to relationships, and you guys are definitely a relationship that I look up to. Just seeing you guys on tour together and how you interact is really beautiful. So I want to talk a little bit like how you guys met, what was different about that you guys found about each other, and like how your relationship is working, how it's different from past. Just break down you guys a little bit.
Okay, so we can start at the beginning.
Let's start.
And I don't know if you've told this story or not, but I found Jessica on Instagram through the top photos like section. There's like a thing that, you know, like your photos you'd be interested in, which says something about, as I was a single man, that good looking women were my top photos. But she popped up because I was looking at a location in Nashville called Bridgestone Arena, which is right downtown, and she was there for a sporting event. So I just messaged her. I actually waited about 6 months to message her. So I think my first reaction was, this girl just looks really cute. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't fully remember why, out of everybody, she was the one that like I was most interested in messaging. But what happened was, 6 months later, when I was cleaning out my phone, due to too many pictures being on my like phone for Thanksgiving, so I couldn't save any more photos, I came across her photo, and I was like, yes, this beautiful girl is the one that I want to message. And I did.
What was your opening message?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You could probably pull it up as I'm reading here.
It was basically like, if don't ask how I found you, but if you're single and ever in Denver, like, I'd love to take you to dinner or something like that.
Amazing.
And so, of course, like, I get it. And I'm like, well, all I want to know is how he found me. I am single, but I've never been to, like, Denver before. So whenever I got his message and I saw he had the blue check mark and however many followers, and I was like, this is so bizarre that he found me on Instagram, because I had like maybe a couple thousand followers just from college, and I was working a sales job in Nashville. So I showed it to my family, and mom was like, he was The Bachelor, like, you have to find out how he found you. So then like my response was basically, in the end, I just wanted to figure out how he found me. I didn't know what else.
I have the exact response. You want me to read it to you really quick?
Please.
Okay, so I messaged her. I said, okay, random request. This is on Thanksgiving, by the way. In the spirit of giving, don't know how else to do this without it being weird, so please be kind. If you're first single and second ever in Denver and interested in going out, I'd love to take you. Please, for now, don't ask how I came by your profile. Long story. And then she responded, please pretend that I replied when it was still Thanksgiving, but I was for sure in a food coma. But to answer, first, I am single. Second, I've never been to Denver before, but I would, of course, love to go out with you, just so I can hear how you found my profile.
Oh, so it was like fireworks from first text, first message.
Yeah.
It progressed quickly, too, because we never really stopped messaging. We started texting quickly, and then I went to church on Sunday, and I had this sermon that was like interesting to me. So I called, or I texted you about it, and she voice messaged me back like a response. And that was the first, because it was like a pretty vulnerable thing for me to, I forget the exact topic, but I remember it was like a pretty vulnerable thing for me to talk to her about. Mm-hmm. And I was doing it, one, because we had been texting and I was super into it and liked her a lot and like didn't want to not talk to her, and two, like, to see how, I remember thinking, oh, this will be good for us to see how we talk through this kind of stuff, like, mm-hmm. some of the stuff that matters in life, because until then it had just been flirting and fun. And her response during like from voicemail was like, oh, like this girl, one, didn't have any judgment in her response. No shame. It was just like a really well thought of response. And when she didn't know, she said she didn't know. And I respected all those things. And so then it just like became, I think it was a good like hurdle for us to get over.
And I remember I was on a run and I like answered it through my headphones. I was like, hey, on a run, like I'll call you back in a little bit. And then I called him back and we talked for, I don't know, 30 minutes or so. And then that first phone call right before we hung up, he goes, well, if nothing else, I got a really good friend out of this. And we hung up and I was like, well, I'm never hearing from him again. But not lasted.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I want to talk about it too, because it seems like you guys have the ground floor of the fact that you guys have such a strong faith, both of you individually, and it seems that you've kind of built that with each other. And just the way that you guys interacted from the very beginning, it almost was like you're relying on faith and intuition. So when you initially reached out to her, was that like a God thing? Was that like a just like an universe thing? Like what is that for you? How do you follow your faith, your intuition into making your decisions through this relationship and just like life in general?
Yeah, I don't love the cliche like corny God things. Like I grew up in a community that kind of like if you got a good parking spot at Walmart, they'd be like, God's on our side. I don't love that. I don't know where the boundary would lie though to when like what would be and what wouldn't be. I mean I guess at some level everything in a at some level, every even small thing plays a part of a bigger story that's somehow, some way. We were just talking earlier about how, like, the small little things in life, looking back, even though if they might be tragic or hard or they might not be what we want them to be or maybe they're really good, they always play a part of a bigger story. And so I think messaging Jessica out of everybody else and doing it in the way I did it and feeling the need to and knowing that that day I had too many photos on my phone, so I had to go back through and delete old ones. Like, I do think that is a part of a bigger story that I didn't see playing out at the time. Was it ordained or predestined? I don't know that. But what I do know is it felt like based on what I saw about her from her profile and what I saw from her on like how she, like how her friends responded to her pictures. That's how creepy I got. That she held herself to like a level that I wanted to pursue and explore. And I think my faith definitely played a large part of that just because I wanted to believe that there was somebody out there for me, and luckily somebody like Jessica was there.
Jess, how did you feel about it? Was it like a faith thing or is it just kind of,
I mean,
you said the right thing at the right time?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. Like, none of it makes sense to me, so I have to believe that there's something bigger that was at play, but I don't know. I mean, yeah, saying like, God put my photo on the top post page just is a little corny. So,
yeah.
I mean, I do think that like Ben and I, just because of how well we get along, like in how we found each other, the only way we could have found each other is if it was a part of a bigger plan, basically. But I don't know. It's hard to say if it was the universe or God or the Instagram algorithm.
You just a lot of brunette, really cute girl pictures, and then this girl.
It worked out.
It worked out. Like, this is your one. You literally have every like that you've ever had.
So watch what likes you do on Instagram, I guess, essentially. Yeah. Moral of the story.
I better not start liking other brunette girls' photos.
No, it leads you to the right place.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You can just stop here, though.
Okay.
So then you guys were, because Jess at the time, you were in Nashville and then Ben was in Denver. How was the long distance relationship for you? How did you work through that? I'm actually doing that myself right now in quarantine. I started talking to someone that lives in Ohio and we haven't met in person, but we're still talking now. So I feel very similar to you guys' relationship. Like, how did you manage the long distance? What worked for you guys?
Well, I think long distance, starting out long distance dating is the best thing ever. I think it worked for, at least with my personality type, because I, like, in person, I tend to not communicate very well, and I've gotten better. I have gotten better. But when you are only talking to the person that you care about on the phone or FaceTime, like, you end up having to use your words in a lot more intentional ways. And you take like the physical component out of it. And so you're really just focused on that person's heart. And so before you ever meet them, you've like both made a decision that you're going to invest in that person, because you're not going to travel, you know, to Ohio, and he's not going to come to Virginia unless there's this understanding that this is going to become something, or at least you want to see if it will. And so I think that the first 3 weeks of our knowing each other, we were asking each other super intentional questions and really getting down to, could we be compatible? Like, does he want for me to come to Denver, and do I want to fly halfway across the country to meet this guy? I think dating long distance is great. I think it really is a good foundation, because then even whenever we met in person, we were just able to have fun. Like, I already kind of knew everything I needed to know about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that first weekend together was like a dream. It was great.
Were you nervous at all first meeting each other?
Oh, like that initial.
What happens if I get there and this is not what I thought it was?
Tell them what happened. Yeah, tell them what happened.
Okay, so.
Make me sound bad. It's fine.
So I'm flying out to Denver. It's the night of his restaurant opening. And so he can't get me from the airport. I have to Uber from the airport to his house. And I'm in the Nashville airport, and I'm FaceTiming one of my friends. And she's like, have you ever thought about the fact that, like, could be getting catfished? And I was like, no, like, I FaceTimed him, like, there's no way I'm getting catfished, like,
oh, no.
You can't put that in my brain when I'm halfway there either. And so I get on the plane, get a couple glasses of wine, because I'm really nervous now. I'm in Denver, and I call him, and he doesn't answer, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have been catfished. And I don't know anyone in the city. I'm in Denver, like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I'd never been here before. Like, I was freaking out. About, I mean, probably 30 seconds later, he called me, and he was like, I just left the restaurant, whatever, and I went to his house, and it was fine. But I was so nervous. I was so nervous that even in the Uber ride, I came up with my first line.
Oh, yeah.
What?
I was trying to set up, I wanted to make a joke, and I thought I would do a joke, so... I figured I would go up there and knock on the door and just say, Casey, seeing you here.
Ben, didn't you cut off that joke with the little tongue action?
Yeah, I walked right outside and kissed her before she could even say anything.
I love it.
Yeah. I'm glad I did too, because I don't know what I would have done if she was knocking on the door and said, fancy seeing you.
You just slam it in her face.
Yeah.
Well, now you guys are engaged, so clearly whatever you were doing was working.
Yeah.
I know it wasn't your original plan, but what I saw was really, really beautiful. What made you guys decide to, like, or Ben, what made you decide to do it now in quarantine versus like waiting until you could do the magical original plan?
Mm-hmm. So anybody listening, Sydney was a huge part of the original plan. She was great. She was going to help do like a flash mob, and she was going to be around during the proposal to like make sure that everything went well. She was a part of the team from the tour that had kind of like really supported me and made me super pumped up and feel super loved preparing for the engagement. I don't know if you ever knew this, but we have a guy that dances on tour with us named Ezra. And I bet, and Sydney, tell me if I'm wrong, but like over under at least 5 times he cried while I was talking about proposing to Jessica during the planning process.
So many times.
So they were really, he is. And I just felt really supported, really loved, really like fired up about that day. And so when the virus hit and we had to change plans and not go to New York, I was pretty bummed. For a lot of reasons, but I also knew that for months I had stopped really talking about the future with Jess because I wanted to kind of surprise her on when, when the engagement would happen. I wanted her to be a little thrown off. I wanted her to be excited. I didn't want to do the whole, like, hey, you're going to know the exact time, date thing. So it took some months of me not talking about it to really get her kind of, I guess, more or less confused. And I also knew that we wanted to get married sooner rather than later. And so when the virus hit, we shut down. I didn't know how long the virus would last. And I also then didn't know, like, what would make any other time better than the present. Like, we were all with her family in Nashville. living under one roof. The backyard could be beautiful if we wanted it to be. We could make this thing happen. Yes, not ideal. You know, it was sad for me, and I know her mom and I talked about it a lot. Like, it's sad to think that, like, I was going to propose to Jess. She was going to say yes, and then we weren't going to be able to celebrate for, like, months. Like, she wasn't going to be able to show her ring to anybody. She wasn't going to be able to get a hug from her family. She wasn't going to be able to get a hug from her friends. We weren't going to be able to get out and, like, talk about it and laugh about it and just, like, move about as an engaged couple. But it worked out really great. And it was really well done. It was really beautiful. Total change of plans. Within 5 days, we had gone from doing a proposal in New York to setting up sunflowers by a pond and doing it there. And I'm really glad we did.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to wait. I guess the best way to answer that in short is I just didn't want to wait, and because I didn't know when this would end.
Mm-hmm. I think you did the right thing. So normally what the problem with right now is that everyone in quarantine, and you guys can talk about this or not want to talk about this, but no one is getting laid except for the people that are in relationships normally. And I know you guys did talk about this in like articles when, or it was talked about in articles when you guys got engaged, the idea that you guys are waiting until marriage. And I think that's such a beautiful thing. And I love what you're doing. Can you just talk a little bit about like intimacy for you guys and like how you came to that decision of waiting? And I think it's such a beautiful thing, especially right now, you don't see that often. Mm-hmm. So how did you guys approach those discussions around like how you're going to progress your relationship right now that you're engaged?
You know, it's weird, Sid, and you get this, is reality television, you forget like what was normal before. And so it feels like everybody knows the most intimate things about my life and our relationship. And we talked about it maybe when the articles first came out, because I was on a podcast and I think it was Nick Vile, and he said like, you know, what's your sleeping arrangements, the house? I was like, we're in separate beds. He's like, why? I was like, well, we're in our parents' house and you know, that's not happening anyways. And then it was like, I think what he used to like get some headlines, which is great. And we talked about it and we're like, yeah, I mean, it's not a bad thing that like we're able to be incredibly vulnerable and open about everything.
We are going to take a quick break to shout out our podcast sponsors for today. They are Filorga Skincare and Ashe Pure Naturals. We're going to start with Filorga Skincare. They are the first French laboratory in aesthetic medicine and provide science-based skincare that's very effective with clinically proven results. Their products have visible results after just 7 days of use, and their products are biocompatible, which means you can mix and match products from different collections in order to create your own custom routine. They are the pioneers in creating formulas used for revitalizing. Their products treat, but also prevent. They are anti-aging, but can actually slow down the aging process no matter what the age. You can start using Time Filler Collection, for example, at mid to late 20s to delay the appearance of wrinkles, or you can use it at, say, 40 years old to reduce the wrinkles you already have. And if you're someone who likes to do Botox and other aesthetic procedures, their skincare is a great complement and it can totally be used at the same time. You do any facial treatments. I've been using this all quarantine. Now that we're getting out of quarantine and back into regular life, my skin, I'm in the routine, I'm loving it. It truly, truly works, and they are giving you 20% off. It's a one-time use only. The code is GBB20. You can find them at filorga.com or filorgausa on Instagram. That's filorgausa on Instagram. And their website, again, is us.filorga.com. So I am someone who has a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress, and I use CBD products to lessen my stress. And if you aren't familiar with CBD products, they help with relaxing, but they can also help you improve your focus, improve your concentration. There's so many benefits, and I'm going to get into them. But today, we're going to talk about Ashe Pure Natural CBD. It's organic, it's vegan, it's made in the USA, and it's gluten-free. CBD is excellent brain food. Ashe Pure Naturals puts MCT oil in their CBD products. It's a medium-chain triglyceride, and it's excellent brain food and helps with the absorption of the CBD more efficiently. MCT oil contains healthy fats which help the body absorb cannabinoids like CBD and CBG using MCT oil allows for a rapid release. The oil is directly metabolized into energy, allowing your body to burn those fats and put the cannabinoids they hold to use right away. So one of the most celebrated health benefits of CBD oil is the pain-relieving effects. It's thought that CBD interacts with receptors in the brain and immune system to reduce inflammation and alleviate pain. Substance abuse treatment, CBD has been shown to modify circuits in the brain, related anti-tumor effects in test tube and animal studies, and a Shape Pure Natural CBD tinctures are made with no compromises. They're enhanced with coconut MTC oil and organic monk fruit and tasty peppermint. Both CBD as well as peppermint, which is in their CBD, have been said to help naturally improve focus and increase motivation. So you can use the code GBB15 to save 15% off your order. I've been using CBD to relax at night. I get on the foam roller, I roll out, I stretch, I relax. It helps me go to sleep. And I wake up the next day energized and focused. So you can find them at their website at www.ashepurenaturals.com. That's spelled ASEPureNaturals.com. Or you can find them on Instagram, ASEPureNaturals. Again, that's ASEPureNaturals on Instagram.
But the truth is, like, yeah, so we've made that decision to wait to marriage, which has been at first like this, what's healthy kind of decision, like what's best for us. And it was just like, hey, let's keep take some boundaries, let's respect what's going on here, because I think after the first date we both knew that this was something special. Like, this wasn't a fleeting thing, this was a commitment and something we wanted to pursue. And I think for both of us, we had been in past relationships, learned from past relationships, each one of us had different stories from those past relationships, but we knew what worked and what didn't. And we knew that things, and like, I knew personally that, you know, the physical intimacy did not satisfy the longevity of the relationship. And so that wasn't the building block to what a good relationship could be built on. Now, is it a benefit of a relationship? Definitely. Is it a benefit of a consensual relationship? 100%. But for me, it wasn't the thing that made it last. It wasn't the thing that made it healthiest. It wasn't the thing that had to be at the core. And for Jessica and I, one, our commitment to each other is really at the core. Like, I would say above anything else, like when we look each other in the eyes, like it's a commitment, but it's a fun commitment. It's one that I hope we can always make fun and keep fun. It's one that we can always foster and make healthier and communicate better and work on it. Two, our faith is a huge part of that. Just our belief there is something greater than ourselves. There's a belief that there is a God that loves us and cares about us. But it's always funny because I think some articles are like, this isn't necessarily a faith decision. Mm-hmm. This is more of a, like, this is what we believe is healthiest for a relationship decision. And I guess during like quarantine, I think it would be harder. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this makes sense. I think it'd be harder to be not getting laid and you're single during quarantine than being in a relationship with somebody you're committed to, looking in the eyes and being like, hey, I love you. Like, we find intimacy in other ways. We are able to speak to each other, communicate with each other, hold each other, cry on each other's shoulders. But if I was like lonely, I think it would be harder, and I would probably be, you know, finding other ways to let myself try to feel some type of human intimacy.
I think you bring up a good point, is that intimacy doesn't look one type of way, and you can still create that by just like your words and the way that you guys talk to each other. And I think, Jess, you mentioned this earlier, just like by you guys, how you originally met, you didn't have that physical side, so you have to build up all the other things, and it gets you to a different place. And I've even noticed that, like, talking on FaceTime, like, I've had conversations that I wouldn't normally have until way later, or you're too afraid to have them because you've gotten to your relationship into this like physical place. So I think it's a really interesting way to look at relationships, and it clearly has worked for you guys because you built such a strong bond together. Yeah.
And it's not to say, you know, I don't want to jump to the conclusion like that we aren't looking forward to that. We aren't super excited about that. Like, we are.
Yeah. I bet. And I've seen you guys together. It's not like you're not touching and you're like kissing. It's not like you're not intimate. Like, it's just,
But it has been interesting, and it has been good, and it has been healthy. And even during isolation, just our level to stay intimate has been really incredible, based on, you know, looking in the eyes and knowing that whatever I say to her she's not gonna respond in judgment, that she knows who I am inside and out now, because as you said, like with FaceTime and phone and conversation, you have to talk, and if you don't, it's just weird. And that's been really great, and I'm really happy that we've done it. It hasn't been easy, but it's been really healthy for us, and that's why we've continued to stick to the plan.
Ben, what do you think was missing from your past relationships that you have now that's made it work? Do you think it was like the way it started, the long distance in the beginning, or is like, because we're always trying to help our listeners and, you know, find what, just by like hearing what works for you guys, maybe if they're in an unhealthy relationship, things to spot, stuff like that. So what was it exactly that was missing from your past relationships?
Yeah, it's great. I could name a few things. So one is, I would start at the beginning and say, if you're looking for the right thing, that's a good thing. And I was given some advice. I was asked somebody who's single in their mid-30s. She's this beautiful woman who has so much going on in her life. And she's so charismatic, so likable, so lovable. And she's single. And I remember asking her, like, what advice do you have for others that are single? And she said, just don't stop dating. Because the dating process is about dating to try to figure out what you're into, what you like, what you don't like, what's healthy for you, what's not, what works, what doesn't. And I think that's such good advice. So one advice to anybody, and this isn't advice I came up with, is just don't stop dating. Like, put yourself out there, go on weird dates, meet people who are not like you that you don't even think it's going to work out, but at least you go and become curious about somebody else. That's one thing. The second for me is by dating and by being in serious relationships, I was able to identify more what was important to me. And it wasn't just necessarily the physical. It was more the emotional, more the spiritual. I wanted to find a partner who I knew I could wake up every day and be confident that they wanted what was best for me, because I doubted that in myself so much. I wanted a partner who loved me, who looked me in the eyes, and I knew it. I could feel confidence in them loving me. I wanted to have a partner who I could look at and trust and know they trusted me. And those were the things that I think through different dating scenarios and through my life experience kind of rose to the top. But maybe the most important thing that rose to the top was I wanted to find a partner who was empathetic towards me and also others, who would quickly look at others to relate with, so that they could confide in, to be a confidant for others. And that's what Jessica was. And I think it took me dating around people, like, and going on different dates to figure out that those were the things that I thought could build a core foundational relationship that could last me a lifetime. So I'd say don't stop dating, because I think dating's really fun, really healthy, a really good season of life. Really sucks sometimes too. Like, it's really hard and it's awkward, but it's like, you get so many good stories from it. Like, don't stop dating, but also continue to decipher what you're looking for. Now, the third thing you asked is, like, what do you know when you're in an unhealthy relationship? I'll tell you this. Being in a healthy relationship for the first time in a long time, I've had some great, like, high school, early college relationships that were, like, just super healthy and ended tragically because you know what they do. And it's like a weight lifted. It's a freeing feeling. It's my mind isn't always racing about when I'm going to mess up. My mind isn't always racing about what I've done wrong. I would say if you're in a relationship that makes you feel less fulfilled, like, you know, that internal like fullness feeling, that joy filled feeling, the feeling that can only be satisfied by things greater than yourself and experiences greater than yourself and moments greater than yourself. If you feel less of yourself because in this relationship than you did before, I don't think it's worth it. I mean, I think I would advise, and I've told people this, like, it's 1,000 times better to be single than in a relationship with somebody that makes you feel less
100%.
Yeah, good about yourself.
Better to be alone and 100%. Happy than in an unhealthy relationship.
1,000 times. And you're like, I mean, for the rest of your life, even, like, and I know that sounds scary to some and it feels like heavy, but I believe it, and I don't believe it has to be scary. I actually believe it can be a gift at some levels too, but, and it's just as respectful as being in a committed relationship at some point, but don't settle just because you want to have your name tied to somebody else.
Agreed, 100%. So you guys seem to have like a very healthy relationship from the outside anyway. So for our listeners who are in relationships, when you guys get in an argument, how do you like healthily, I mean, in a disagreement, let's say disagreement, you disagree on something, what's like a way that you guys like hash it out?
Usually I've always been making me look him in the eyes and tell him what's actually bothering me, because I'm the kind of person that I'll be like, no, it's fine. Like, everything's fine. I'm not like passive aggressive, but I would just rather not get in an argument. Like, I would just rather the other person just do what they want. And I usually don't have like very super strong opinions for certain things.
I just do a tattoo around.
Those are too cute.
So usually our disagreements involve Ben having me actually like communicate with him and like voice what is on my brain, and then me telling Ben like, I'm not saying this to cause a disagreement, I'm saying this for whatever reason it is, and Ben will hash it out and come to a conclusion. But we don't really argue about much or disagree about much.
I don't want it to sound like, yes, we're the, like, everything's great. What I think we've done well, because of the FaceTime and the phone calls, is before we even get to an argument, I think I trust Jessica enough, and I think she trusts me enough to know that neither one of us will need to be right. That ultimately, like, as a unit, we just both need to get to a place that we both can agree upon.
Yeah.
And so, like, if I'm wrong, I trust that Jessica will tell me that, and that if she's wrong, I can tell her, like, I don't agree with you, and she's not gonna like storm out of the room yet. Now, we haven't gotten there yet. I hope we never do. It's hard to say, but it's always a, okay, tell me why, and then we can get there. Because I think, because I love her, and because she loves me, and because we trust each other, I do think our, within our relationship at least, there's a humbleness towards each other to know that, like, if you're going to say you disagree with me, it's only because you care, and it's only because you want to see us do this the right way.
Yeah.
It's
so about understanding.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. It's the empathy part, really.
Right or wrong.
Yeah, it's the empathy that I was looking for, and I think that built what I love about Jessica is that she at least will try to relate with me.
And I think another piece of it is I fully trust that Ben would never say anything or do anything that didn't have both of our best interests. Like, I know that he cares about me as much as he cares about himself. And so he would never put me or us in a situation that wasn't for, like, the best of us. What am I trying to say?
That works.
I feel like you two guys, both of you have like an understanding of your guys' communication styles, and you have this agreement to like push each other in a way so that like that respect is already built. So you guys are growing together versus like growing separately, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. Two things. First, I want to know like how you guys built that trust. Was it just like everything you already said, or was there something you actually did to build that trust? Because I think that's something that a lot of people want, right? They want to be understood and trust that their partner always has their back and thinks of them. And then, secondly, I want to know your guys' love languages and horoscope signs.
Well, I think for me, I can speak for myself on the trust. I think that when dating someone like Ben was never something that I planned on. I've never, you know, been on a TV show or anything like that, and I can't really understand the Bachelor experience. So I had to... And, like, I know most of his ex-girlfriends, and I can find them on Instagram. So, comparison is big. I'm saying, like, I can compare myself to them really easily. And so, trusting that he, like, cares about me, you know, more than what people saw on TV or what people might assume. We had a lot of conversations about that, like, right away, which is really, really helpful to me. To just kind of like address that stuff. And I think that built like a good trust, and even our decision and our level of intimacy and like knowing that he cares about me and like my heart and who I am, more than that component of it when we first started dating was really, really huge for me to realize, like, he's the real deal and he's serious about this. And so right off the bat, like, I had this level of trust with him where it was like, he values my heart so much more than any guy I've ever been with. And like, not my body and not, you know, what I look like or any of that. Like, he actually really, really cares about me. So that kind of gave me this confidence that made me feel like I stood out from his other relationships, like, initially. And then he would never do anything to hurt me intentionally, ever. I, like, fully know that about him.
What is your guys' love languages, anyway?
My love language is, I've never taken the test. I've read the book. I would have to say that it's physical touch. If you,
it is.
Yeah, yeah, she knows. So Sydney and Jessica, so if you spend any time with me, you'll know that, like, if you can get, if I can get somebody to rub my back, like, I can be as stressed out as can be and I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, I feel just at peace so much. On tour, if I was stressed, like, if anybody could just, like, scratch my back, I'm done. If Jessica's here and she can rub my back, puts me under, makes me feel all sorts of love.
Quality time. So
love it.
That was also distance relationship. It makes it a little bit tricky. But the FaceTimes are quality time.
Yeah.
I kind of, like, yeah, I think I just found other ways around it, but it's definitely quality time. Like, I love going on dates with
him. You guys had the cutest quarantine date, too.
We did have a cute quarantine.
Yeah.
We had actually right here where we're talking, my parents set up a little restaurant inside of our porch, and they served us and cooked us dinner and served us drinks, and we had a date inside here, and it was very special.
Aww, that's
so
cute.
Horoscope is Aries.
Oh, and then Jess, what are you?
I'm a Gemini. I'm on the verge of a Cancer, and I relate more with Cancers for the most part.
Same.
Really?
I'm a Cancer.
Ah.
Yeah. Ooh. It's the emotional side. Okay, first, last thing. Ben, how do you feel about them re-airing your season on ABC?
it's so funny. I actually just think it's humorous. I think it's like, again, it goes back to, like, you don't see, like, people don't get to see the behind the scenes. And as soon as I saw and heard, they called and said they're going to re-air it. And I mean, I don't have a choice in that. Like, that's not up to me. My heart, like, kind of dropped because I was like, oh no, like, Jessica's gonna be hurt, sad, and like everything else. And like, when I went to tell her, I was super nervous about it, and she just kind of like laughed it off and was like, well, that kind of sucks. And like, I knew that's about as far as she was gonna go with it. And it's that, like, trust, that confidence, that non-judgment, that no shame kind of feeling where I could, like, then I could laugh it off. And I could be like, hey, the only thing I'm really nervous about here is, like, the person I love being hurt from this. But if she knows this is just a part of the story that led me to her, and we can, like, have fun with it and make funny jokes about it and be like, yeah, 24 years old, like, here's my story, then, like, then it's just kind of funny. I mean, it's just like, of course they would air something so that, like, yeah, of course this would be one of the seasons that they would air during quarantine, and I would have to go on and interview about it. I think it'd be fun. What do you think?
I mean, I'm not gonna watch it.
I was gonna ask if you were gonna watch it. I think that's probably smart. No, you guys have moved on past that.
Yeah, I was actually shown part of his season last spring, probably about this time last year, actually.
Yeah.
And I saw, like, the proposal and him talking to the girls, and it crushed me. And so I think when I watched that, and it kind of, we had, like, a really, really good conversation about it, and that actually led to a great conversation. But I do think that it would be unhealthy for me to watch that, because you should talk to your partners about their past relationships, but you never see your partner, like, interacting with their ex when they felt that way about them. Like, it's totally unnatural and not something that you should do.
Right.
So,
yeah,
I'm not going to watch, but it's fine.
Yeah, I get that.
But it's a funny joke, too. Like,
it is.
At some level, you can make it this just like, how many times in your life do you have to watch your ex date on national television? It gets, like, humorous. Like, we'll just laugh about it, move on from it. It won't be a thing for very long.
Yeah. But in some ways, I think, like, if you can use it to make your relationship stronger in some way, like, if you can find a way to twist it into that, yeah. I think it can only make it you stronger, so.
Definitely. All about growth. Okay. Well, before you guys go, we have normal, like, ending questions, but I think we can just ask you, like, two of them, and that would be, like, enough.
Yeah.
What's, a mantra or a motto that you guys live by?
Mine is always, personally in life, like, give more than you receive.
Oh. You definitely do that. What was the last one I want to ask you is, what's something bad that you guys do to help yourselves feel good?
I mean, I probably have a cocktail a day, at least.
Yeah, are you drinking a lot in quarantine?
During the weekends, yes. Weekdays, not as much, just because typically I like to have a cocktail to calm down after a crazy week.
Yeah.
My weeks aren't that crazy right now, so now I just feel like I'm drinking a drink, and I don't love that feeling. Not bad and not a healthy, like, best for my body way. Mm-hmm. But I'm not, like, a big drinker. Like, I have, like, a very close, like, I have one or two, and I'm done. I don't love the past that level.
Yeah, either a drink or two, or I usually will just go straight for the chocolate if I'm down or stressed.
We were trying to turn Ben into an alcoholic over tour, but he was really pushing against us.
He really, like, no matter where we are, he will have three drinks tops, and, like, he's done. Like, he
That's
knows
so
exactly
funny
where
you're
he
telling
wants to stop.
What's your guys' drink of choice?
Go ahead.
Drink of choice?
Summer tequila. Yeah. Summer, big tequila fan. Winter, bourbon. I love a good bourbon, but I can't drink bourbon in the summer or you'll see me sleeping all day.
Yeah, that'll happen.
I'm a tequila girl, too.
Margarita. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go more for wine, but definitely tequila.
Love it.
All right. Well, I love you guys so much. Thank you so much for hopping on with us.
Thank you,
I missed you tons.
It was so nice meeting you guys.
It's so nice to meet you, Sydney. Love you. And I'll see you very soon, okay?
Bye. Have a good day.
Thank you, guys.